This talk was recorded at Against the Stream Buddhist Meditation Society in Los Angeles and is freely offered for your enjoyment. For more information, please visit againstthestream.org.
Welcome to Against the Stream. Last week I started to talk about the central Buddhist teaching and practices called the Brahma Viharas, these qualities of heart or heart qualities. Brahma translates as divine, and vihara is place, abode, the divine abodes. And it's the teaching and practice that the Buddha points to of the true nature of our heart, when it's not obscured by greed and hatred and delusion. That when the Buddha came to his experience of enlightenment, what remained was the experience of loving kindness towards all living beings, the experience of compassion for all pain and suffering, the experience of appreciation for all joy, and the experience of a balanced or equanimous state of heart and mind. Last week we did spend some time speaking about how forgiveness is often a prerequisite to really having access to kindness and compassion and appreciation, that our resentments, our hatred, our ill will can get in the way of our kindness, of our ability to appreciate, as long as we're still holding on to resentment or judgment towards ourselves or others. We spent a little bit of time doing some loving kindness and some forgiveness last week. And tonight I wanted to shift primarily to the practice and teaching of sympathetic joy, of looking at the joy. But I feel like it's a little bit difficult to talk about joy and sympathetic joy in our lives that's a little one-sided without talking also about compassion. That really, a large part of what we're being asked to have access to is the appropriate responses to pleasure and pain, to joy and sorrow. As you have caught on, usually we meditate first and then I do a talk, but as you've caught on, I'm going to do most of the talk first because it's a setup for the meditation instructions that we'll offer. I'll do the talk and then the meditation practice. Chinese Buddhists have a saying that life is 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows. And that it's our practice, that meditation and ethical behavior, renunciation, the wisdom and compassion that we develop in our Buddhist practice is to be able to meet the 10,000 joys in the appropriate, with the appropriate response, to be able to meet the 10,000 sorrows, also with the wise and appropriate response to all of the sorrow that life has in it. I like this image, and I wish it were the image of 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows, and I wish it were that simple. I think that actually what's being pointed to in that saying is the ideal, the enlightened experience, 10,000, a balance of joy and sorrow. But those of us who are unenlightened, who are still living our life in greed and in resentment and in attachment and in aversion, don't have that kind of balance. Almost all of us have way more sorrow and difficulty in our life than we do joy. And a big piece of this is because of the human tendency, the perhaps biological, we're born with this tendency to meet joy with attachment, to get attached, to cling. And as soon as clinging and attachment comes into the picture, the joy category, the 10,000 joys, as soon as you cling to them, they enter the other category. You meet pleasure and joy with clinging, it becomes suffering and sorrow and grief. And we're not, as a species, very good at non-attachment. We're not born into a mind-body-heart process that's very skilled at non-clinging appreciation. And so this is a big part of what the Buddha is directing us towards. The antidote of turning joy into sorrow is learning to meet joy with non-clinging appreciation. And I spoke a little bit about this last week. I'm thinking about this a little bit tonight. It's the last night that I'm teaching here before the holidays. I'm going on retreat this week and then going to take a little bit of time off with my family for the rest of the holidays till New Year's Eve. I'll be back. And thinking about, I had a conversation with somebody earlier and they were talking about how much they hate the holidays and how they've always hated the holidays and how much suffering there is in this American consumerist mentality around Christmas or Hanukkah. And it just sort of reminded me how much sorrow and suffering people experience around the holidays. Being a recovering person, knowing how often people relapse or bottom out around the holidays, around the difficulty, and how many people we talk about. It happens in Buddhism too. The new year, it's like membership drive season. Like everybody has suffered so much through the holidays that they're like, fuck, I'll do anything, even meditate. It's gotten that bad. I gotta get sober, I gotta meditate, I gotta do something. So reflecting, I wonder for you, just in your own internal experience of your relationship to the holidays, in general for you, does it fall into the sorrow category or the joy category? Some people love the holidays and just they love the whole get the tree decorated or, you know, buy the presents, send out those really annoying mass texts to everybody. Happy gobble gobble, happy holidays. People, you know, some people really have fond memories. You had, you know, it was the good time of year in your home when you actually got some presents and some attention, and some people not so much. But each of us have probably a mixed relationship to this time of year. If it's sorrowful and difficulty and you hate the holidays, then of course that sucks for you. That hurts. And it's a period of unnecessary suffering because of the judgment and aversive feelings that you have. And what's called for is compassion and forgiveness. Sometimes we think about we only have to forgive individuals or have compassion for people, but you can actually have compassion and forgiveness for whole institutions, for whole holiday season. You could actually, in your meditation practice, say, I forgive Christmas. I've hated Christmas my whole life, and I'm ready to forgive Christmas. And whether, you know, whatever connotations that is, that has for you, maybe it's the religion, religious connotations of it, and maybe it's the material connotations of it. But that you could actually take this time of year as the object of your practice. I mostly wanted to encourage the other side, the joy side. What the Buddha talked about was sympathetic joy, of learning to take pleasure, learning to enjoy when other people are happy. Whether you're happy or not, for myself having small children, kids really like the holidays. They really love it. Partially, I mean, I have to also admit that last year when my daughter was sort of tearing through her presents, just like, what's next? And just that kind of thriving, just lust, pure unadulterated greed and lust, and just not even looking at it, just give. What? That's all? I only got 17 things? This is bullshit. But mostly a lot of excitement. We were setting up our Christmas tree the other day, and my daughter, a lot of it. I'm sort of annoyed and like, oh, fucking, I gotta do this again. But the happiness that my four-year-old was experiencing, and what the Buddha asks us to practice and to try to uncover in ourselves, is what we call sympathetic joy. When other people are happy, when other people are enjoying themselves, when other people are successful. Or like with the holidays, I think it's a really a great time of year to try to practice it. To train ourselves to actually send appreciation. To try to actually feel joy in other people's joy. Sympathetic joy. Most of us have thought a lot about this in terms to empathy for pain. Somebody's really suffering, you think about caring about somebody's pain. One of the definitions of compassion is actually feeling with somebody. And so it's the same thing, feeling with somebody, but not just their pain, their joy. An empathetic response to happiness. It seems that our survival instinct that clings to pleasure, that hates pain, the reason why it's so difficult to practice non-attachment, it makes it quite difficult to practice sympathetic joy for most of us because of this tendency towards jealousy, towards envy. The power of the judging mind, the comparing mind, that part of our mind that's always kind of so self-centered, thinking about like, well, if you're happy because you got something that you want, does that mean I'm not going to get something that I want? Or does that mean that I'm going to miss out? Or the practice of sympathetic joy, it's literally the antidote and opposite of jealousy. Jealousy is one of the common jealousy, envy, covetousness is one of the, or three of the unnecessary forms of suffering that we human beings have total choice about, with meditation practice, with applying sympathetic joy meditation practice, you don't have to suffer about jealousy anymore, or envy, or get caught in believing the comparing mind and the judging mind and the envious mind. And the practice is literally done by bringing to mind somebody who is experiencing some joy, some pleasure, some happiness. For instance, if you don't like the holidays much, think of somebody who really likes the holidays. You can borrow my 4-year-old Hazel. She really likes the holidays. She is fucking psyched. And maybe you have your own young person who's really psyched about the holidays, or maybe you're one of those adults who's really super into it. Some people at work that are like decorating shit. That one person that like is already wearing the red Santa hat. And literally bringing to mind somebody that appears to be happy or joyous or successful. Often when we're jealous of somebody that we're competitive with and we suffer about somebody else getting the job, the promotion, the whatever it is that you wanted. The opportunity that you would like for yourself. Actually bringing to mind, visualizing somebody that you experience some envy of, some judgment of. And beginning to say to them, may you be happy. May your happiness continue. May it increase. May you really enjoy this holiday season. May you get all the presents that you're hoping to get. Of course, material sources of happiness aren't that great to wish for people because, as we all know, they're unreliable. They're so temporary. But the Buddha did, in one list, talk about material things as being a true form of happiness. He said, you know, there's the happiness of sense pleasures, there's the happiness of material goods. But they're sort of low forms of happiness. They're not high. The higher forms are spiritual well-being, blamelessness, debtlessness. Freedom is the highest form of happiness. But most people in our world and our lives are settling for material and sensual pleasures. And it's an opportunity to develop your own heart quality of joy, of sympathetic joy. Breaking the judging, comparing tendency, and developing this quality of heart and mind that celebrates and appreciates, sympathizes with the happiness of others. So we'll do a meditation practice around that tonight. Sympathetic joy practice. Sometimes one of the questions that will come up around this is, well, what if the person that you're thinking about's happiness is not from a wholesome source? I think one of the last times I talked about this, somebody said, like, well, what if they're like a serial killer, but they really love being a serial killer and it really makes them happy to? Should you have sympathetic joy for them? And of course, there's some discernment being asked for here. And if somebody is actually doing something that is causing obvious harm to themselves or others, you don't want to take that as the source of your sympathetic joy. You want to try to think of something that's fairly wholesome, that's fairly harmless, that's bringing somebody happiness or joy, not something you don't want to go towards. Somebody that's really thriving in greed or in hatred or some sort of delusion, but that's having a more wholesome kind of happiness or joy.
You have just listened to a podcast from Against the Stream Buddhist Meditation Society. If you'd like to make a contribution to help support these teachings, please visit againstthestream.org.